you're new with us today, I think it's a good day for you to be with us. You're going to see the heart of Freedom Church. We're not about just showing up and just having a moment where we can feel better about ourselves. We're about what we can do to spread the gospel and to reach every single person that we possibly can reach with the good news of Jesus Christ. We're about building the kingdom of God, which is why this is a Vision Sunday, but also Kingdom Builders Sunday. And I want to just show a few highlights that wasn't mentioned in the video earlier. As was mentioned, we had over 2,140-something first-time guests that walked through the door. 605 people were connected into small groups or classes. 300-plus salvations. 200 salvations at Vacation Bible School alone. 45 student salvations on Wednesday night. 12 student baptisms in water. 17 students were called into ministry. 10 students were baptized in the Holy Spirit. We had 129 new Freedom members that went through our membership class, and we dedicated 40 babies. Somebody say praise the Lord. Now, I got to tell you that our youth are on fire, and our youth gave $114,547 to Speed the Light. Now, that's a lot of money for young people. It was first in our district out of over 600 churches. It was 14th in the nation out of nearly 13,000 churches. Our youth set themselves apart. Good job, Pastor Joel. So proud of you. Our Freedom Kids, under the leadership of Pastor Erica, gave $29,899 to BGMC. Now, I want to make this note just in case anything changes, because we know we gave $16,000. The district credited us with $29,000, so there was another $13,000 that either somebody donated anonymously and gave our church credit for, or it's a mistake and they're going to take it back later. I don't know. But right now, that's what they say we gave. So I just want to make that note just in case it comes up different later. You'll know you heard it here. Our Freedom Seniors gave over $10,000 to Pleasant Hills Children's Home. And this is great because in the last 15 years, Freedom Church has given over $8 million to missions. Over $8 million in the last 15 years. That is pretty incredible. And just so you can see where we have, how we have been a steward of our finances over the last year, our church income was over $5 million, which was, I think, only the second time ever we've gone over $5 million. And spent between administration, general fund, Kingdom Builders. You gave over $1 million to Kingdom Builders last year. Our expenses, $5,155, left us with a negative of $20,000. But I want to explain that real quick, because I've never had to explain this before. We always manage it just right, but here's kind of the curveball that we were throwing. I want you to see what the December trends have been for the last 4 years. December in 2019, you gave $317,000 just in that 1 month alone. 2020, you gave $344,000 just in that 1 month alone. December 2021, you gave $446,000 just in that 1 month alone. You can kind of see without seeing this, okay, we kind of know where we can budget. So we had a little higher budget, but our income in 2022 only came in at $289,000 for that month, which we know last year was tough for a lot of people. Inflation hit a lot of people. The economy kind of caught up to a lot of our people. And so we just didn't have enough time to correct and adjust our expenses because we weren't prepared for this $150,000 difference. It's turned around. You're already correcting it here this year. We're back on track within budget. But we also have cash on hand, nearly $500,000 in cash on hand. And our year-end loan balance is only $4 million, which to date now, it's actually under $4 million for the first time ever. And that's down for some of you thinking, $4 million, that's a lot. It used to be $7 million. So we thank God for $4 million. And we believe it's only going to get better. Amen? Now, that leads me to, here's what we're going to do this year. And we just need faith that God's going to do it. We're not really changing our budget much from last year to this year. We've increased it about $150,000, but we're believing for $5,319,000 this year, and our expenses are still with over $1 million given to Kingdom Builders. at 5,284,000. That'll leave us in the black at 35,000. That's what we're believing for. Everybody believes we can do it. Say amen.
Yes.
Amen. Now, I believe that God has something new for you. Something new for me. Something new that he wants to do at Freedom Church this year. You know, it's been my word for the year. New. Fresh. I just believe that God has something new and fresh. The scripture that has been upon my heart this year is Isaiah 43:19. That says, see, I'm doing a new thing. Everybody say new thing. God has something new he wants to do in you. I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I'm making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. That word new is actually the word fresh, which means never been done, never been seen, never been experienced before. And I believe that what God has in store for us, we're going to say, whoa, I've never seen that before. Never experienced that before. I believe he's taken us places we've never been before. I believe as you as an individual, he's taken you places. Even our missionaries, I believe it's a word for you. You're going to see things you've never experienced before. And I believe there's a fresh anointing upon our congregation, but that also means there's a fresh new challenge. A fresh new challenge and a fresh new anointing. That's what I want to talk about just for a minute. Let me talk about the challenge first of all. Our mission remains the same, and that is to help people find freedom. That's what we're here for. And we're going to help people find freedom, whether it's right here on the streets of Carrollton or Dallas or Texas or the United States or around the world. We're going to help people find freedom. Our methods may change, projects may change, but the mission remains the same. And we believe that through Kingdom Builders, we can make a difference globally, locally, and through future generations. So how are we going to do that? How are we going to make a difference globally, locally, and through future generations? I'd like to invite some of our missionaries, if they would, to come up here. I want to ask Bob and Chrissy Godwin from Estonia, Manny and Tina Providas from France, if they would come. And then also, if our pastors, Pastor Bruno, Pastor Patrick, Pastor Tony, who are from France, if you guys would come with Manny and Tina, and then also Drew and Haley Sellers from Cambodia, if you guys would come up here, I want you to hear briefly here what a Kingdom Builders offering can do. And while they're coming, just come and stand right here. I also want you to know, because some of you have asked, what are we doing for Turkey and Syria? Did you know that we have missionaries on the ground in Turkey right now? Missionaries that we support on a monthly basis, just like many of these missionaries, Don and Diane White, are on the ground right now dispatching teams that are distributing the food and the water that Convoy of Hope is providing. And Convoy of Hope is one of our monthly partners as well. And they are on the grounds in Turkey and Syria distributing the food and the water to the people that need it most. We have boots on the ground, hands extended in Turkey and Syria right now. And your offerings make it possible. Your offerings make it possible. But I want to start right down here on the end. Well, where are you? Oh, you got the mic right here. Bob and Chrissy. No, we'll start right here. You're from Estonia. Tell us what a Kingdom Builders offering or support from this church house can help you do in Estonia.
All right, we're going to let Chrissy tell the story.
Okay.
What has happened in Estonia is things like has happened in Nikita's life. Nikita grew up Orthodox. He never knew he could have a close connection to God. And today, Nikita's in relationship with Jesus.
That's what I'm talking about. Nikita, remember that name? Keep praying for her. Manny and Tina in France, tell us how Kingdom Builders offering helps you.
Your offering will help us plant churches and train leaders in France in a region called Brittany. Overall, France is less than 2% evangelical Christians, and Brittany, a region, is least reached region. By comparison to Dallas, if you have Dallas in Brittany region, if Dallas is a city in Brittany region, Dallas would have 9 churches. And so we're excited. Your offering is going to help us plant churches, train leaders with our church planting coordinators and leaders with us today, this morning.
Which is Pastor Bruno, Pastor Patrick, and Pastor Tony. And we are actually taking a team to work with Pastor Bruno, is that right?
Yes.
In August. So we'll have a team that's going to in August. And Manny, maybe you can help if you want to translate. Or I know you do okay. Well with your English. He apologizes for his English often. But
I'm gonna try in English.
Will our team help you do what you're doing in France this summer.
Okay, this team is a beautiful team to help us in planting churches, like he says. And he's going to run, to work with Tony. He's a director in a home mission for planting churches. Right. And also, we have Act 2, a beautiful program to help revitalization for churches. And it's Patrick, who is the director for revitalization in France. And your help is very important because you have tools for us. And thank you for all the tools. Thank you for the money you give us because you help us to develop for and the work for the kingdom of God. And I can say you today that there is something moving in France now. Just an example, a lot of the churches, small churches in France, grow now. In Beauvais, we double the public in this church. I don't know where come from the peoples. And a lot of churches in France have the same things. And we think that it's because a lot of brothers and sisters came in France to help us. And the Holy Spirit is moving now for France. It's why now there is something arriving. Thank you so much for your help and your prayer.
That's good.
And God bless you.
All right. If I sit down there, Drew and Haley. Drew and Haley in Cambodia, tell us how a Kingdom Builders offering helps you.
Yeah, so Cambodia is divided up in 25 provincial capitals, and 10 of those capitals have no church at all. So our heart is to plant the first churches in those provinces in Cambodia. So, yeah.
So from Cambodia to France to Estonia, your Kingdom Builders is literally going all around the world. Come on, give these missionaries a great big hand. Thank you. Thank you so much. And that's just part of it. There are other missionaries that are here. You heard in different missionaries from different services, and you'll be able to meet more out in the foyer afterwards. That's how we're going to take this thing global. But how are we going to do it locally? How are we going to reach people right here at home? I want to invite Brendan Malloy and Kristen Colvin if they will come here to the platform. Because Brendan and Kristen, give them a great big hand, will you? Kristen and Brendan. Brendan is our new outreach director, and Kristen is our new outreach coordinator. And these voluntary positions are giving their time and their effort to help coordinate opportunities for our church, you right here, to mobilize on a monthly basis and get out and do outreaches just like some of these that are up here, prison ministry. And I think that's one of our new prison ministry logos right there, Streetside Showers, Carrollton Cares, Habitat for Humanity. And these guys are going to get you motivated. So you've got a booth out there in the foyer, right?
Yes.
Where you can find out more about how you can get plugged in to reaching somebody right here in our local area.
We need you.
And we need you. So thank you, Kristen. Thank you, Brendan. Give them a great, great big hand, will you? Thank you, guys. And there's plenty of other local outreaches that are there on your handout. I don't have time to touch all of them. But we're also, we've got a future generation focus. A future generation. We believe in the next generation. We believe in our young people and our young adults. There is no doubt you probably heard about the revival that's taking place at Asbury University right now, right? Your head's been under a rock if you haven't. There is a revival that's taking place that is, I don't know, it's like on its 10th day now, round the clock, 24-hour worship and people seeking God, people coming and finding God. And in his spirit, all the eyes of America are on this revival. And that's what happens when revival touches a campus. When revival touches a campus, it creates God chasers rather than a bunch of woke snowflakes. It's called revival instead of indoctrination. And what we need on our campuses is revival. We need revival to spark not just in Asbury. We need revival right here in Southwestern, right? And I can tell you, I got excited because the things that I'm reading about and I'm seeing that are taking place in Kentucky were things that I saw when I was attending Southwestern. We were having this conversation with my mother. She said, we saw the same things. And that's what happens when revival takes place. And we have that type of revival atmosphere in our youth services and in our college campus. And that's why we're investing over the next 5 years, $500,000 to pour into Southwestern. We've already made our first $100,000 seed into the school. So for the next 4 years leading up to their 100-year anniversary, we're sowing $500,000 into Southwestern. But not just them. We also believe in our young people right here. Right here. Let me tell you something. More kids are saved, called into the ministry, healed or filled with the Holy Spirit at youth camp or kids camp than at any other time in the year. And that's why for the first 100 youth that sign up and pay your deposit, the first 100 kids that sign up and pay your deposit, Freedom Church will pay your balance to send all of our youth and kids to kids camp and youth camp this summer. Because we want you to be in a place where revival can happen. Oh, it's going to help, especially families that have multiple kids. It's going to help. Well, we got a challenge. We got a fresh new challenge that's upon us. We're going to need a fresh new anointing to make that happen. And I believe that's what David was saying when he said in Psalms 92:10, I shall be anointed with fresh oil. I want to be anointed with fresh oil. That word anoint, it comes from the Greek word krio, which literally means to rub or to smear upon. It would be like a person with sore muscles that would come to a physician, and the physician would take oil and pour it in his hands, and then he would rub it and smear it into the muscles until it went deeply into those muscles and brought healing so that the oil would touch the hurting place. So when we speak of a person who has been anointed, we speak of a person whose God's hand is upon their life. And if we're gonna help people find freedom, we need God's hand upon our life. If we're gonna be God's hand extended to Dallas and to Estonia and to Cambodia, then we're gonna need God's hand upon our life. We need his hand to anoint us for this great new challenge that's in front of us. In fact, Jesus used a wineskin as an illustration to make a point. When he was talking in Mark chapter 2, verse number 22, he said this. He said, no one pours new wine into old wineskins. He said, otherwise the wine will burst the skins, and both the wine and the wineskin will be ruined. Well, why do you not pour new wine into old wineskin? Because the old wineskin, if it's old, means it's unused. If it hasn't been used, then it's become dry and brittle. And so when wine would be poured into a wineskin that was dry and brittle, the wine inside causes it to expand. And if it's dry and brittle, if it's old, then it will burst. The expansion will cause it to burst. He said, no, we don't pour new wine into old wineskins. He said, what we do is we pour new wine into new wineskins. But this word new is different than this word new. This word is neos, which means brand new. We pour brand new wine into, this word is kenos, which means renewed. We pour new wine into renewed wineskins. So how do you renew a wineskin? You take oil and you rub it on the dry leather and you prepare it, you renew it so that when you pour the oil or the wine into the wineskin, then it can expand without breaking because it's been renewed. There are some of you in this room today, you need to be renewed. You need the oil of the Holy Spirit. You need the hand of God to touch you and renew you, because when you are filled with his Spirit, when the Spirit, we were singing it early, pour your Spirit out, pour your Spirit out. And we're gonna go to a moment of prayer here in a moment. And we're going to ask God to make room. We're going to say, make room. I will make room for you. I will make room for you in my life. And when you start making room for the Holy Spirit, he fills you up. You need to be renewed so that you can expand. Because what God wants to do with this fresh new challenge is he wants to give us a fresh new anointing. And so when he puts his hand upon us, he expands our reach. He extends our reach. He causes us to go places we've never gone before. And the only way we can do that is that we've been renewed by the hand of God. We need to be renewed by his hand, touched by his hand. So here's the challenge. We need a hand of compassion and a hand of generosity. When the Good Samaritan was walking down the Jericho road and he comes upon a man who was laying there on the road, half dead, beaten, he knelt down with a hand of compassion and he poured in oil, he poured in wine. Well, I could spend a lot of time talking about all that. He poured in the oil and he poured in the wine. He bandaged up his wounds. So he had a hand of compassion. But he also picked him up, put him on his own donkey, took him to the inn, paid the innkeeper, hand of generosity. Said, I want to take care of his expenses. And here's some extra. And if there's any more, hit me up when I come back and I'll take care of that as well. A hand of compassion and a hand of generosity. You know what God wants out of every single one of us here today? A hand of compassion and a hand of generosity. There's a lot of us that we say, oh, I've got compassion for people. I feel sorry for people. Oh, that's called pity. The people that we're trying to help find freedom don't need pity. They need compassion and generosity. They need people that are willing to have a heart to help and a hand to help. Can God find the heart and the hand in you? Can he find that at Freedom Church today? Well, I think he can. You've kind of seen over $1 million last year to Kingdom Builders. That's a pretty big heart. That's a pretty big hand. But I believe where God is taking us is even bigger than that. Did you know that Paul spent two entire chapters, 2 Corinthians 8, 2 Corinthians 9, talking about one topic? One topic. And it was the topic of an offering. An offering that had nothing to do with the church that it was being given to. He talks about an offering being given through the Corinthian church. Not for the Corinthian church, but through the Corinthian church. And when I think of that, I think of missions. I think of kingdom builders. Whenever we start talking about offerings that are flowing through the church to send missionaries all around the world, to help plant churches in France, or to be able to help somebody in downtown Dallas. In fact, just last evening, we had a team that went downtown and served over 400 people at Austin Street Shelter. Can you pull those pictures up for me? We had a team that went down, over 400 meals were served by teams down at Austin Street Shelter. A hand of compassion and a hand of generosity. People giving of their time, people giving of their resources, people helping serve those who need it most. God is looking for some people that are willing to give. But in 2 Corinthians 8 and 9, Paul talks about this willingness to give through the church that helps somebody else. And when I hear that, I think of kingdom builders. I think of missions. That's what this day is all about. I make no apologies. You know what I'm here to do today? To challenge you to give to missions. I'm here to challenge you to do something for somebody else. I'm here to challenge you to look beyond your own need and see the need of somebody else. I'm here to make you a little uncomfortable. And if you're a guest with us today, relax. I'm not trying to pressure you. It's everybody else I'm trying to pressure. I'm coming after you. I'm coming after your money. I'm coming after your missions commitment. I'm coming after your willingness to help. I'm coming after your compassion. I'm coming after your generosity. For me, no, it's not going to do anything for me. It's for somebody else. Paul talked about that. So you know what God's perfect plan for kingdom builders is? God's perfect plan for kingdom builders is simply three things. River, if you're taking notes, write these down. Number one, everyone do something. Everyone do something. Look what it says in 2 Corinthians 9, 7. It said, each of you should give what you've decided in your heart to give. Notice what it does not say. It doesn't say each of you should give whether or not, or each of you should decide whether or not you want to give. That's not what it says. Some people read that wrong. That's because you learned English in America. Sorry. Here's what it says. Each of you should give, period. What you've decided in your heart to give. In other words, when you talk to God, you say, God, what would you like to give through me? And that's what we'll give. Nobody's here to tell you what to give. I am here to tell you to give. but not what to give. That's between you and God. Because God's plan is that all of us do something. Because everyone can do something, not everyone does the same. We all do different. Some of you have the means to do incredible things. And some live on such a tight budget, your giving may be like the widow's mite. But when you're willing to give it, it moves people by faith to do something else. Your small amount may spark generosity in somebody else that causes them to give that could change somebody's entire life. So everybody does something. Number two, here's God's perfect plan for kingdom builders. We do it because we get to, not because we have to. You know what some people are thinking today? When we start talking about giving, some of you thought, oh, here we go again. He wants us to give to missions. Yes. Yes, without a doubt. I want you to give to missions. But we don't do it because we have to. I don't drag these missionaries in here because we have to. We get to. We get to support what they're doing. We get to breathe a little bit of life on what they're doing. We get to say, come on, we're behind you. We send monthly support because we believe in what you're doing. Because we believe when Jesus said, go into all the world, he kind of meant go into all the world. Well, we know we can't physically go, but we can send money to help people go. There are some that will go. There are some that will send. And we are here as senders today. So yeah, we get to be a part of this. In fact, the Bible tells us there in 2 Corinthians 8:7, since you excel in everything, make sure you excel in this grace of giving. This is a ministry of it. Make sure you're a part of it because we get to be a part of it. We don't have to be a part of it. And then number three, when we recognize that, first of all, God wants each and every one of us to do something. And then we recognize that we get to do this, not have to. Then number three, we should recognize that God does all that to benefit you. He's going to end up benefiting you. When we are a part of his plan, he says, you know what? I'm going to bless you for it. 2 Corinthians 8:10, he said, here's my judgment about what's best for you. Last year, you were first not only to give, but also have the desire to do so. This is what's best for you. He says in 2 Corinthians 9:6, remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, but whosoever sows generously will also reap generously. God is saying, I'm just watching and I'm just seeing who's going to accept my challenge, who's going to buy into what I'm selling today. And he said, and if you step up, and I'm going to bless you for it. And we don't do it for the blessing, but we recognize that God wants to bless his people. So let me explain something just quickly here. Musicians, if you would come back, please. We talk about three different types of offering around here. One is the tithe. That's 10%. Did you know the Bible says the tithe belongs to the Lord? That's not ours to decide what we do with. That's God's. I'm not talking about the tithe today. That should be set. That's God's. We give it. It's an opportunity for God to test our faithfulness to see if we're willing to be a good steward of what he's given to us. The tithe belongs to the Lord. But then there's another thing. It's an offering. An offering is something that you look at your budget, you look at your checkbook, you look at your account. Okay, I can afford to sow into this offering today. I can afford to give here. Or you set up a monthly payment to Kingdom Builders. That's an offering. It's something you choose to do. You know you can do it. You've made a calculated decision. I can afford to do this, so I'm going to do it. Whether it's $20, $200, $2,000, you do it. But there's another offering, and this is what a lot of people don't understand, and I want you to listen carefully. Because this is when we tap into the supernatural element of God. It's a faith promise offering. What is a faith promise offering? A faith promise is when we have a conversation with God that goes like this. God, what would you like to give through me this year for somebody else? What would you like to give through me for Kingdom Builders this year? And then God gives you this number and you kind of shake your head like, that would never happen. I couldn't do that. And you gulp and maybe hyperventilate a little bit. And when God's saying, no, yeah, really, that's what I'd like to do. I'd like to give that through you. You say, where does that come from? If it doesn't come from what I can budget. Where does it come from? It can come from any number of sources. It could come from an unexpected raise. It could come from an unexpected benefit or a blessing or a bonus somewhere. It could come from an income tax return. It could come from an insurance rebate. It could come from a settlement. It could come from some kind of inheritance. It could come from anywhere. It could come from a fish's mouth. I'm pretty sure I read that in the Bible. It could fall down from the sky like manna from heaven. God can provide just about anything. He puts rams in bushes. He does all kinds of things to make provision. Because when God says, I want this to happen, then he has something in mind that he wants to do that may be something fresh and new that he's never done in your life before. Come on, I think I heard that somewhere today. We just have to be willing to walk by faith, make the commitment by faith. And what is the promise part? The promise is that when God supplies it, you provide it. When God shows up, you say, God was faithful. Here, I'll do it. That's a faith promise. So here's what I'm going to ask you to do today. Inside of the flyer that you received when you came in today, there was a little card like this called Kingdom Builders. On the backside is a place for you to make a commitment. And, you know, I just try to keep it real around here. Yes, I expect everybody to do something. I do. Because everybody can do something. Your something may be less than somebody else's something, but for those of you that have more to give, I'm expecting more out of you. For those that say, man, I'm just barely putting food on the table. Well, you know what? God knows that. But he may want to do something crazy through your life. Just listen to him right now. When you make this commitment in just a moment, I'm going to have us all, we're all going to stand. And we're going to take a moment here, and I have no idea what's getting ready to happen in this place. Some of our young people are going to be standing down here at the front with baskets. And I'm going to ask you to fill this card out, bring it forward, and drop it in that basket. Our pastors and prayer partners and missionaries and deacons are all going to be standing across the front. And they've all been given oil just like you have when you came in. And they're going to anoint you with fresh oil, a fresh anointing for a fresh new challenge. Now, some of you are going to need this anointing, this hand of God upon your life to be able to fulfill the pledge that you make here. Some of you, you're going to need his anointing to be able to walk through the darkest season of your life that you're getting ready to walk through. Some of you are going to need his hand upon your life to walk through a challenge at work that you didn't see coming. But God knows ahead of time what you're getting ready to face, and he's already preparing you to have his hand upon your life to guide you through that. And this is what I know. If we've got God's hand upon our life, we can be thrown in the lion's den and everything's gonna be all right. We can be put in the fiery furnace and everything's gonna be all right. We can be standing at the Red Sea with Pharaoh's army at our back, and God will make a way where there's never been a way. I just want God's hand upon my life. So pastors and prayer partners and missionaries and deacons, if you will, come and join me. And then I'm gonna ask you to take this card, fill it out, but I don't want you to stop right there. Because some of you, the challenge and the commitment that you're about to make is pretty sizable. It's pretty big. So here's the next thing I want you to do. You say, I can make this commitment. I can make this pledge. You know what I think that every single person should do as well? Sow a seed with it. Everything begins with a seed. You know those beautiful trees that you have in your yard? Or maybe trees you don't have in your yard, but you see in somebody else's yard. You know what they started with? A seed. Just a small seed.